Mr. Macmillan, reel 15. You were in Scotland training now in the combined operations base up there. Yeah. Was it hard physical training as it was with all the others who were there?
It was hard physical training from the point that we were all signalmen. Unused to, running about like seamen. We found it very difficult indeed. But we got through it after a fortnight. Come back to a base at Dundonald, also in Scotland. And then from there we went preparations down to Poole in Dorset, I believe.
And what was your role going to be in combined operations?
The actual role was working with the beachmaster. If he wanted any particular ship in that required, we'll say, an LCT with tanks or etc., we would flash a signal to him, land, whichever, or food. That was until the Mulberry Harbour got into proper action. This was just for landing on the beach.
So you're at Poole at this moment in time?
Yes.
And what unit did you join down there? When you got to Poole, what was the reception?
I don't know, we seem to get attached to various people. Sometime we went down for, as you know, there was quite a lot of, dummy runs for to keep the GMers doing it on the alert, I'm assuming. And most of the LCAs that we travelled in were manned by soldiers. So it was the communication side between soldiers and sailors rather awkward because it's a totally different language we use. That was basically what we done at Poole.
LCAs are landing craft assault.
Assault, yes.
What were they like?
I would think, what would you think? A small barge with a small ramp on the front. Would they carry 20, 30 men? But as I say, they were mostly soldiers.
And they actually sailed them, in effect? The soldiers sailed
no,
them?
No, no, no. They were, what we were on were mostly naval command. I suppose there were soldiers doing them. I don't know whether, I think the...
But they carried soldiers, yeah, that's what
yes,
you're saying.
The most of the thing was carrying soldiers. I suppose the crew of an LCA would be about two or three.
And who was the senior man?
I'm just trying to think. I don't think he'd be well up in the naval hierarchy. Probably a sub-lieutenant or something like that. And then as you went from LCA to LCT, you'd get a more advanced officer taking charge. So that was
so the... What was the training role that you were going through prior to D-Day?
Prior to D-Day, just doing exercise landings at... I don't know whether it was Weymouth or somewhere like that.
And that was carrying troops out to sea, was it?
That was carrying them out to sea, maybe only a couple of miles. And I think the objective of it was to get them used when landing from the LCA. Because once again, here comes the soldiers with the great packs. Whereas the signal ratings, out there, 12 of us were split maybe into 4 or 5 LCAs. And I suppose the heavy thing that we carried was a little portable radio set on my backs. But that would only be probably one person. Other than that, it would probably be an Aldous lamp, flags, batteries for the Aldous lamp, no books of any kind to the best of my ability, because code flash into a ship to sea, there was nothing, no code was necessary. It was just plain language. Speed was most essential.
Have they trained you to use the radio?
Yes, we do. We do that in our signaling instructions at the beginning, at the in Chatham Barracks. But towards then, it was more or less becoming voice radio, rather old-fashioned, so we say, and tuning the sets to get in touch with him. Actually, we found it easier to pass a signal by Aldous lamp than what it was to get on radio telephone or whatever they called them in those days. Because there was so much interference. Everyone wanted their part in first, certainly. So we found it much easier to pass the signals by Aldous lamp. Far, much, much easier. And we were under the control of the Beachmaster, who would have his own commandos there. The army were looking after blowing the mines up, etc., on the beaches. And we just landed. We landed at Ver, a little village called Ver-sur-Mer.
Before we get to that point in time, in the training, obviously you would be doing your signal work in the training, in the actual training landings that you were carrying out, the exercises you were carrying out.
Well, in the actual exercise, as I said before, I think it was more or less to train the soldiers. We didn't do a lot of signalling, except one big one we had in Scotland. We done quite a bit there, which brings me to another funny little point, which I was not court-martialed, but I lost my good conduct stripe. Because my little party of six were getting marooned on this little sandbank. We couldn't get in communication with them, and I just thought, well, a live coward's better than a damn dead hero. So I withdrew them, which didn't satisfy someone, and I was up before the commanding officer of the landing party, and I lost my good conduct medal for a year. No, as I say, I thought to myself, well, we can't get in communication with anyone. We're not doing any good. Why wait until the water comes up on us? We may as well withdraw. So that was that episode. But I think it was mostly to train the soldiers.
What were the scenes like down in Poole and that area, Weymouth, at this time as D-Day approaches?
It was just masses of uniforms. Everyone knew what was going to happen, but they didn't know when. Because we had so many, we would sail into the channel and come back an hour later. Like, as I said before, to keep the Germans on their toes. One time you would sail maybe towards Calais, Dieppe, Normandy, then you would withdraw. So they would be guessing where it's going to happen. Of course, the minute you sailed, they would know, and they would have to bring their forces to the alert, which was upsetting them probably. And then,
so when you said you were sailing to these, were you personally involved in these diversions, or was it just the fleet that were doing this?
These were mostly the fleet as we know the fleet was not anywhere near. We had a few destroyers to give us a little bit cover. But all we done was sit in the LCA, because you could make a signal to the other LCA, but the LCA crews had their own means of communication, and there'd be one, probably a lieutenant in charge of quite a few LCAs. But when I come to think, I think that The idea of it was to prepare the soldiers probably from getting into the LCAs from the troop ships. down the nets, etc., which with the bulky equipment was a bit awkward. I never found yet what those exercises ever done for us.
Did you get in contact with Americans down on that south coast?
No. No.
This was the British section.
They were down there somewhere. But I think they were, I may be wrong, I think they were away towards the Land's End side.
To the west?
To the west. Because they had some unfortunate experiences where they lost quite a few men, which there is a story, there is a book about it, about the German torpedo boats getting among the Americans, and this unplanned by the Americans, they lost quite a few ships.
So prior to this, whilst you're going through this training phase, what would be a typical day for you?
Just rising in the morning, get all ready, waiting. We had the sub-lieutenant in charge of our beach signal section, waiting for him coming down to tell us if there was an exercise on that day, how many signalmen or telegraphers would be allocated to which LCA, LCT, or whatever. And then it was just a case of waiting, going down to, I think it was Pool Harbour, and the army lorries, and getting in, because all LCAs are marked with a number, and just getting in, and then going to sea. Which going to sea was nothing to us, because most of us had spent quite a time at sea.
What was the complement of a beach signal section?
We had the sub-lieutenant in charge, and then there'd be me as yeoman of signals, probably a couple of leading signalmen, and then the rest were just ordinary signalmen. Because a beach signal section, the more junior ranks would not have to know, go through a course, I assume, like learning how the fleet acts and things like that. They would probably be brought in solely to be a beach signal section. So there was no need to learn them all about flag hoists and things like that. I'm assuming that. I don't know for sure.
And your own particular section, do you recall any of the people that were in it?
No, to be quite honest with you, I can't. No, not names. I think the lieutenant, they called them, sub-lieutenant Goss, G-O-S-S. Other than that, they left most of it to me to pass on. Where he got his information from, I do not know until this day. But it would come from some little bit higher authority.
Where were you accommodated down on the beach, or down on the coast?
We're near Pool, we're in wooden nissen huts. That's all I can remember at Pool. I don't remember being in the town or where we were. That's as much as I know. We'd done a few exercises, it's just come to my mind now, on Hailing Island. I don't know, you may have a better idea. I don't actually know where it is. I think we'd done our final exercise before D-Day at Hailing Island.
And that must have been something, presumably quite a big exercise.
That was a big exercise. I think that also involved, I think we had LSTs, which carried the tanks that time. That's the first time I'd ever seen them. Of course, you have your umpires, etc., going around. You lie down, you're dead, and then they would go back and put the report in, and then we'd find the good points, the bad points, the faults, etc. And then from just a case of after that, of waiting.
As the time approached, were you locked in? Were you couldn't move out? You were passing into that area?
No, not to my knowledge. I mean, I suppose the Germans were expecting an invasion just as much as we were. So I couldn't see any particular reason of locking people up. Because if you just went about doing your normal duty, everyone would be baffled, even your own people, probably, you know. No, there was nothing. I don't think it was such a big secret as what people were led to believe. I think everyone knew on both sides of the channel that it was going to happen. And it was just a case of when Eisenhower, who was in charge, gave the word go. That was it.
Were you inspected by any high-ups? Did Eisenhower or any of the high-ranking people come around? Give you a pep talk?
I can never remember being given a pep talk. I'll be honest. The only person of any significance that I can remember was Montgomery. But this was on the French soil.
We'll come to that. Mm-hmm. So D-Day arrives, or the eve of D-Day. What happened to you?
Well, we didn't know whether it would be the only clue we got was this had happened before. I believe to this day, memory's not quite good. I think they give us some, invasion money. But they had done this before. So to us, it was just a case, are we going, or is that another exercise? And then when we realized, when we got to sea and seen, we thought it was just too many ships for an exercise. Then when we got to sea, of course, we were told, this is it. And away we stormed off to do our best.
What were you sailing in?
I'm trying. I think we, Just before we finished our training, they gave us a couple of jeeps. And this is right. And at the last minute, they put us on an LST, because of what LCAs couldn't carry. And we went across in a landing ship tank with the big ramp.
Was it crowded?
Was it calm? To an experienced sailor, it was reasonably calm.
But the weather's calm, yes.
The weather, I thought, was very calm, huh? But I suppose to a soldier, etc., it wasn't quite as calm.
These
LCAs and LCTs, etc., they're flat-bottomed. And the engines are damn noisy. Very, very noisy indeed. And the least little bit swell on a flat-bottom boat, of course, it rose and then bashed down. But it was quite quite an easy crossing. We did see some aircraft, but whose they were, I don't know. And it was just a case of...
Did you feed and sleep on board on the crossing?
No, because it was only one night. No, we had emergency rations, if required.
What were they?
Well, it was tins of soup, etc., etc. And the tins of soup and various things, they were self-heating. You pulled the tag off the middle, and it must have been like a phosphorus thing, went down, or litmus paper or something, and just heated them up, and that was it. I don't think many people give eating a thought. But you see, when you go on an LCT or an LST, with being sailors in the Royal Navy, you can automatically get a meal on a Royal Navy ship. You can actually draw your rum if required. Because when you went on, there was only two or three of you, the sailors on board, they helped with a little bit extra food. So,
so did you get your rum?
Actually, we did. We did get in the CLST. We did get our rum. But there was too much water in it for me. There was a few army lorries, etc., on board. And that our jeep, which previous to that we'd had water tight, so we could go in the water and it would still go, and they had the exhaust pipe running up. So that was our crossing. We landed quite comfortable.
When you realised this was the real thing, were you excited or
no.
worried or
no? No, it wasn't the same excitement as what would the word be? A setting out on a Russian convoy. There was something missing. Because the sea was vast with ships, whereas on a convoy you had to look after yourself. I don't remember any excitement of any kind. No. Not even the soldiers, because I think they had been training for months for this. No, I wouldn't see excitement, no. There was quite a bit of gunfire, which I assume would be the Navy softening up the shoreline, etc. And we landed there.
You had no feeling of making history that day?
No. 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 It wasn't. No, there wasn't the excitement of the old days of going out to sea. No, nothing like it at all. It was very calm. The atmosphere was calm. I think our bodies were calm. No, there was no. I'm trying to think of the word to explain it. Like when you set out in a convoy, you knew what you were doing. You knew it would probably take 11 days to get to Russia, something. Whereas the channel, you knew a half a day you were going to be there. No, there was no tingle of excitement. No.
How were you dressed?
Actually, we were in battle dress. But with the Royal Navy flashes on the shoulder and a sailor's hat. It seemed ridiculous, but that was it.
Did you have a weapon?
We had a revolver. I think we had one revolver among, I think two revolvers among about a dozen of us. Which, to my knowledge, I'd never fired before. It was the old Colt 45s, or was it the old something? I don't think I'd ever fired one in my life. What I would have done if I'd met a German, I do not know until this day. I probably shook his hand.
At what stage in the invasion did you land? What had gone on before you? Were you the first wave or what?
We were the first wave, but. Now, let's put it, shall we say. Before we had gotten there, there was an assault group had gone in to clear the mines off the underwater obstructions and tidy the beach up. And we knew that a few miles inland, there'd be paratroopers somewhere who had landed about 5 hours before us. And then we had to wait until the Navy, the destroyers, the cruisers and the battleships and the Royal Air Force had softened the defences up a little bit.
So there'd be quite a bit of activity because you were close to the initial landing, in effect. You were just behind the initial landing.
There was quite a bit of activity, but not from the fighting point of view. I don't remember any gunfire coming near where we were.
What was the scene on the beach as you approached it? What were you actually seeing?
Well, all I can remember was sand. I can't remember much more. And I believe, maybe wrong, I think the beachmaster, who I think was a commander, he would be there with his commandos, giving, and you come in here and you go over there and that. And everybody just beached and everybody just run off. And
you didn't see any dead or wounded or prisoners or any of that nature?
No, to be quite honest, I wasn't even looking in that. We were told that we would make our headquarters at the top of this little hill.
Where was it you landed, by the way?
I think in a little place called Vers-sur-Mer. And there was a farmhouse here, which we, when we got there, we used that as a signalling point of view. But it had been all gone over by the army people looking for booby traps, etc. When we got there, it was quite safe. They had seen to all that.
And they cleared the wounded that away by then, because they would lose men going up the hill from the beach, presumably.
Well, as I say, I honestly can't remember any gunfire. But looking back now, when you see it on film, there were. I mean, we've seen a few landing craft, etc., being hit by the, the German, is it 55 millimetres?
Their artillery.
Their artillery, uh-huh.
What constitutes a beachmaster and his unit? I mean, you've mentioned that he had...
Well, you'd have your beachmaster, and you'd probably... He would be the main man on the beach. Then he would have his own unit of commanders, Royal Navy commanders with him. And then after that, when you landed, you automatically come under his control. Whichever he wanted in, tell so-and-so to get off, he wanted something else in. That was it. He had quite a responsibility, actually.
Do you remember his name? Your
particular no, man? No. It's in one of the books, but I don't remember it, to be honest with you. No, he was...
And he was, in effect, telling you who to... He was organising the whole...
He was organising what ship he wanted in and who he wanted in. I suppose he would be in contact with the army authorities to get either supplies or petrol or bring in some tanks, whatever the case may be.
And you were doing this kind of work?
We were just flashing LCT, land on beach, LST or whatever the case may be. That was it. Nothing outstanding. Actually, it was, to me, it was very quiet. It just wasn't like a battle.
It must have been incredibly well organized.
Well, like everything else that, that gets organized, it goes astray. You know, there was some LSTs, you were waiting for, and then you found they had broken down in the channel. And other ships that were late, so you should try, the beachmaster would try and find what you could land in before they got there. We didn't know much about the organisation, really.
Was there a great build-up of traffic on the beach? Because it was very slow.
Yes.
Off.
It got towards the end. It did get a bit filled. Like everything else, organizations do go wrong. And all it requires is a tank to be blown up and the whole thing goes out. The other tanks are automatically, or whatever it is, are held up. You may have a soldier who's a communication rating gets killed. So you've got to find someone to replace that gentleman.